team when they're rushing each time, and I'm watching them look, then they couldn't possibly be really good at investigating or looking for suspects or people that they think are suspected of crimes. I'm wondering, like, what type of training and why are they so aggressive? And do they realize that as humans, that increases your adrenaline rush and you're going crazy? Like, they were out of order. I think that whoever was commanding them that day needs to be indicted on brutal assault charges, because there was some real serious warfare going on, and we'll see them in court.
Oh, sure. So we're here. We have about 30 seconds left here on the air. Can you just give out the information about your action tomorrow at the city council meeting for those who want to show their support?
Absolutely. We're going to be at the Portland building right across the street from City Hall at 9 a.m. with the family of Quanah Hayes. We're asking for community support, and we're asking for organizations that stand up for Black lives to make public statements. Send someone from your organization down to make a statement and show solidarity for this family. We need to stand together. Thank you.
Yeah, if people are looking for more information online, you can find the event page on Facebook at Demand Justice for Quanah Hayes. That's Teresa Rayford. Thank you very much for joining
us, Teresa.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, the transportation choice of Portlanders since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab has a mobile app that allows you to book a cab with your phone, available at the App Store, Google Play, and at radiocab.net. Or, if you prefer, you can talk to a real person at 503-227-1212. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This study can begin to make a connection between policies that affirm or stigmatize people and their psychological and physical health.
The definition of sex in 64 in 1972 is male and female. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in your mind.
Courts for many, many years have made clear that prohibitions on sex discrimination include prohibitions on discrimination against people who are transgender because they are transgender.
And the Oscar goes to...
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Marriage equality laws save teen lives. Moonlight shines after a monumental Oscars mix-up. And Trump flushes trans student bathroom rights. Those stories and a lot more this week because you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending February 25th, 2017. The Trump administration has rescinded Obama-era guidelines for the fair treatment of transgender students on public school campuses. Lawyers from the Obama administration's Justice and Education Departments had argued successfully in a number of court cases that transgender people are protected from discrimination under federal civil rights laws that ban bias based on sex. Trump's Justice Department is headed by Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has a deplorable record on LGBT and other civil rights issues. So it came as no surprise that one of his first acts as the nation's top law enforcement officer was to withdraw the federal government's defense of the trans student guidelines in a lawsuit challenging them by a dozen Republican-dominated states. And this week, Sessions spearheaded the official revocation of those guidelines. Surprisingly, new Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, whose record includes support for so-called conversion therapy, reportedly argued to keep the guidelines, citing a potential increase in transgender youth suicides. But insiders say her concerns were disregarded. As you might expect, a diverse number of civil rights groups were quick to condemn the reversal. Some queer activists, in particular, pointed out that Trump's action made his campaign promise to protect LGBT people a lie. We'll have much more on this story later in the program on most of these This Way Out stations.
Finland's parliament has turned back an effort to rescind the Nordic nation's marriage equality law. Legislation opening civil marriage to same-gender couples was passed in November 2014 by a vote of 105-92 and is scheduled to take effect on March 1st of this year. Passage was prompted by a citizens' initiative surpassing the 50,000 signature minimum that supported making the country's marriage laws gender neutral. But another petition, circulated in recent months by a right-wing group called the Real Marriage Association, gathered about 100,000 signatures, forcing lawmakers to reconsider the issue on February 17th. MP Mikko Karna of the governing Center Party said he wanted to personally apologize to rainbow families who will have to listen to the matter being debated once more. But the vote this time was even more supportive than in 2014. 120 MPs were in favor of marriage equality, and only 49 were opposed. The March 2017 implementation of the November 2014 vote was specifically delayed to allow all the necessary changes to be made to other laws related to civil marriage. Same-gender couples have been able to enter into less-than-equal civil partnerships in Finland since 2002.
Japan's leading housing website is introducing a registry for LGBTQ-accepting property owners. Suumo lists properties for sale and rent across the country. Starting on March 1st, the search function will allow visitors to look for properties that welcome LGBT people and couples. A company spokesman told reporters that there are present conditions where LGBT people are struggling to find property, feeling restricted on living together with their partner in rental houses or refusing to move in themselves, he said. We would like to help them find friendly landlords and support their search for properties. There are no laws protecting sexual and gender variant minorities from discrimination in Japan, and the conservative federal government rejects any proposals to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. But some local municipalities have been creating mostly symbolic registries for same-gender couples, and a poll last year suggested that a majority of people in Japan now favor marriage equality.
In news from U.S. states this week, the New Mexico Senate voted 32-6 to outlaw the practice of so-called conversion therapy that supposedly makes LGBTQ people straight. Any doctor, psychologist, or other health professional who peddles such a cure to people under the age of 18 could lose their license. Out Senator Jacob Candelaria, who represents Albuquerque, is the bill's sponsor. When you're a young Hispanic Catholic kid growing up and folks use some horrible words to describe you, both to your face and behind your back, that hurts, he told his colleagues. That is abuse, and I hope we don't adopt the assumption that the only form of abuse is physical abuse. The bill returns to the state house, which is also controlled by Democrats, for a second vote. It's expected to pass there. Conversion therapy for minors has already been banned in California, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington, D.C.
The Supreme Court of Arkansas on February 23rd unanimously struck down an ordinance banning anti-LGBT bias in the city of Fayetteville, citing a law prohibiting local governments from enacting civil rights protections for groups that are not already protected by state law. Arkansas offers its LGBT citizens no such protections. The justices didn't rule on whether or not the law itself is unconstitutional and sent the case back to the lower court that had ruled in Fayetteville's favor to address that question. But in overturning that lower court decision, they determined that Fayetteville and a handful of other progressive enclaves in the state, like Eureka Springs, that have passed local ordinances protecting their LGBT citizens, are in clear violation of existing state law. Tennessee and North Carolina, with its infamous HB2, are the only other states that forbid local governments from protecting specific groups of people from discrimination if they aren't already protected by state law.
And speaking of North Carolina, the NAACP is the latest heavy hitter to urge musical and stage performances, athletic events, and religious conferences to stay away from the Tar Heel State because of HB2. The bill bans local LGBT rights ordinances, but it's best known as a bathroom bill because it also forces trans people to use bathrooms and locker rooms that match the gender on their birth certificates rather than their gender identity. It's had a disastrous impact on the state's economy. Recently elected Democratic Governor Roy Cooper, who foiled the re-election bid of Republican Governor and HB2 defender Pat McCrory, has unsuccessfully been trying to get the Republican-dominated legislature to repeal HB2. He even called a special session just to do that in December that ended in stalemate. The latest compromise being discussed repeals the most odious parts of HB2, but at the same time sharply increases penalties for laws broken in public bathrooms. Local governments that want to pass ordinances protecting their LGBT citizens would be required to notify the state legislature at least 30 days in advance. Most LGBT activists are giving the latest compromise proposal a thumbs down.
Republican lawmakers in the state of Oklahoma are pushing two anti-queer bills. Senate Bill 197 would allow businesses and individuals to cite their conscience or religious belief to overtly discriminate against LGBTQ people or anyone else they don't approve of. Senate Bill 694, just like those enacted in Arkansas, Tennessee, and North Carolina, would forbid local governments from passing LGBT rights ordinances. Critics warn that passage of SB 694 in particular would render the city of Tulsa's Fair Housing Act, that stops landlords from denying housing to LGBTQ people and similar local protections elsewhere, illegal. Both bills were approved by a state Senate committee this week. Troy Stevenson, executive director of Freedom Oklahoma, said the bills are the most discriminatory in any state in the union and called SB 694 worse than HB2 in North Carolina.
Republicans on a Montana State House committee rejected a bill this week that would have made it illegal to discriminate against LGBT people. The House Judiciary Committee voted strictly along party lines 11-8 to kill the proposal. The bill required a supermajority of 60 or more House members to revive it. That effort fell short by a vote of 55-43. All 41 Democrats voted to bring the bill to the floor, but only two Republicans joined them. HB 417 would have added sexual orientation and gender identity or expression to the personal characteristics for which discrimination is illegal in Montana, which currently include race, creed, color, sex, age, and national origin. LGBT activists in the state have lobbied for more than two decades to get LGBT people added to those categories.
And finally, some far-right Canadian fundamentalists are warning families not to allow their children to see the Lego Batman movie. The editor-in-chief of LifeSite News, John Henry Weston, charges that the film is meant to indoctrinate the little ones into gender ideology and into supporting LGBT rights. He tells readers that the movie promotes gay adoption and is chock full of pro-gay propaganda. Perhaps he's too young or repressed to remember the campy 1960s Batman TV series. Weston's online site, by the way, is an arm of a Canadian anti-choice group called the Campaign Life Coalition. So just how queer could the Lego Batman movie really be?
You want to play games, do you, Batman?
Save the city or catch your greatest enemy.
You think you're my greatest enemy?
Who else drives you to one-up them the way that I do?
Superman.
Superman's not a bad guy.
I like to fight around.
Are you seriously saying that there is nothing special about us?
There is no us. Never will be. Now, I gotta defuse that bomb.
Daniel Reynolds, writing in The Advocate, thinks that if Lego Batman portrays a world where a superhero or his sidekick or indeed a villain could be gay, questioning, or gender nonconforming, it should be celebrated, not criticized.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 25th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
All you people out there who feel like there's no mirror for you, that your life is not reflected, the Academy has your back, the ACLU has your back, we have your back, and for the next 4 years, we will not leave you alone. We will not forget you.
With only a few overtly political statements at the 89th Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Awards in Hollywood on February 26th, writer-director Barry Jenkins' shout-out to the vulnerable was also an odd omen of the Oscars' bizarre climax. In a historically diverse field, Moonlight's Mahershala Ali bookended his Golden Globes win in the same category with a Best Supporting Actor Oscar. He's the first Muslim actor to achieve that accomplishment. Jenkins' co-Best Adapted Screenplay winner for Moonlight, Terrell Alvin McCraney, also spoke up for telling the stories of the disenfranchised.
This goes out to all those black and brown boys and girls and non-gender conforming who don't see themselves. We're trying to show you, you and us. So thank you. This is for you.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture.
Many had doubted that a movie about the struggles of a gay African-American youth could win Best Picture, but the awards event came to a shocking conclusion that was stranger than cinema. Odds-on favorite La La Land was named the winner, and acceptance speeches had started when producer Jordan Horowitz suddenly announced that Moonlight, not his film, was the actual winner. Chaos abounded as Horowitz handed over his statue to stunned Moonlight co-producer Adele Romansky.
I'm still not sure this is real, but thank you to the Academy, and it's very humbling to be up here. And I think, I hope even more than that, that it's inspiring to people, little black boys and brown girls and other folks watching at home who feel marginalized and who take some inspiration from seeing this beautiful group of artists.
Oh, hooray for Hollywood! It's really got me. Hooray!
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, Noah in the Noah's Ark movie and TV series, and you've discovered This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
There was good news and bad news for trans youth this week. For the upside, we turn to Mark Richardson of Public News Service.
New research says state laws legalizing same-sex marriage have brought a reduction in suicide attempts among high school students. The study particularly notes a decline in suicides among gay, lesbian, and bisexual teenagers in those states prior to the 2015 Supreme Court ruling upholding gay marriage. Chuck Smith, CEO of Equality Texas, says laws granting civil rights can have a profound effect on a person's self-image.
The larger takeaway is this is a study that can begin to make a connection between policies or laws that either affirm or stigmatize people and their psychological and physical health.
The study from Johns Hopkins University found in an average year, 3 in 10 gay teenagers attempt suicide, 6 times the rate for straight teens. But in states where gay marriage was legalized, there was a 14% drop in suicide attempts by gay teens. The authors say that while the study doesn't directly link the two events, it suggests additional studies to see if the trend continues. Smith says gay teens are often stigmatized or bullied because of their sexuality, and that laws granting them civil rights can make them more hopeful for the future and less inclined to harm themselves.
If laws and policies are enacted that are affirming of lesbian and gay people's sexual identity, that actually can have an effect of reducing the triggers that could negatively impact mental and physical health.
The research, published in the journal JAMA Pediatrics, reviewed published data about more than 750,000 adolescents from 47 states, with 231,000 identifying themselves as gay. The researchers did not study transgender students. For Public News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
Step to the left, now step to the right. Put your knees together and squeeze them tight. Keep your arms moving side to side. Try to hold it in till it's time to ride. Knock, knock, let me in. Knock, knock, let me in. I gotta go. Knock, knock, let me in. Knock, knock, let me in. I gotta go.
The Trump administration's Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who consistently opposed LGBT rights as an Alabama senator, has wasted no time gutting pro-queer advances made by the Obama administration. He spearheaded the elimination this week of guidelines for the fair treatment of transgender students on public school campuses. Our comprehensive coverage begins with this edited report by Pacific Evening News anchor Christina Onestad.
What the Obama administration did is they issued guidance.
Chris Hayashi is executive director of the Transgender Law Center.
And that guidance was really to provide schools with support in complying with existing law and to make sure that they were supporting all students in their schools.
The debate was raised in the wake of a bill passed last year in North Carolina that bans transgender students from using restrooms of their choice. Based on Title IX, a federal law prohibiting sex discrimination in education, the Obama administration issued the directive allowing students to use a restroom that matched their gender identity. It also sent a warning that schools could lose funding if they didn't comply.
The Obama administration is ideologically rather than legally motivated.
Matt Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Council, supports lifting the Obama directive. He says it does not enforce Title IX.
Title IX uses the word sex. It was something that was drafted back in 1972. It goes back to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and the definition of sex in 64 in 1972 is male and female. It doesn't have anything to do with what's going on in your mind. It doesn't have anything to do with a boy or a girl thinking that they should be treated or identified as the opposite sex.
You're a mean one, Mr. Trump. You really are a heel. You're an electoral fungus topped with cotton candy hair, Mr. Trump.
With more on the story, we've got enhanced highlights from the February 23rd coverage on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman.
According to press accounts, there was a split in the Trump administration over the issue between Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. The New York Times reports DeVos initially resisted signing off and told Trump she was uncomfortable because of the potential harm that rescinding the protections could cause transgender students. At a meeting on Tuesday in the Oval Office, the president sided with Sessions and pushed DeVos to drop her opposition, which she did. DeVos later issued a statement saying, in part, quote, "This is an issue best solved at the state and local level."
Save our schools! Protect trans students! Save our schools! Protect trans students!
hundreds of protesters gathered outside the White House to call on Trump to protect transgender students. Participants included Gavin Grimm, a 17-year-old transgender student in Virginia whose lawsuit against the Gloucester County School Board has gone to the Supreme Court.
Gavin! 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 Gavin!
No matter what happens, no one, not even the government, can defeat a community so full of life, color, diversity, and most importantly, love.
Amen. Woo!
Mara Kiesling of the National Center for Transgender Equality also spoke outside the White House.
The worst case scenario is what is already happening. Children all over the country are scared by this man. They are really worried that they're going to go to school tomorrow. They're going to be bullied. These are kids who have to go to school all the time worried about being bullied by other kids, being bullied sometimes even by educators. And now they have to worry about the Attorney General of the United States and the President of the United States bullying them. It's just not okay.
To talk more about President Trump's decision to roll back protections for transgender students, we're joined by Chase Strangio, staff attorney with the ACLU's LGBT and AIDS Project. The ACLU is representing Gavin Grimm in his Supreme Court case.
The protections that the Obama administration clarified in the guidance last year were incredibly important for this community that is so vulnerable to violence and bullying in schools. What's important, though, is that as much as the Trump administration may want to change federal law, it's still in the province of Congress and the courts. And so yesterday's actions, while sending a terrible message to the young people who are going to school in this country, young people who face incredibly high rates of suicide and harassment, it does not change the law. And that's important because the protections themselves come from Title IX, they come from the Constitution, and the president himself and his executive agencies cannot change that.
So this Supreme Court case that has been brought by Gavin Grimm will determine what happens?
Absolutely. Yesterday's actions just highlight just how important this case is. This case before the Supreme Court involving Gavin Grimm, the 17-year-old boy from Virginia who's being barred from the common spaces at his school just because he is transgender, his case is before the
court. Now, what do you mean? Explain just he's being barred from the common spaces.
His school has passed a policy solely because his principal and his guidance counselor and the people closest to him at the school said, we understand that you're a boy and you will be allowed to use the boys' restrooms and other facilities just like other boys. And his school board decided that that was unacceptable and passed a policy targeting him, explaining that he and he alone is not able to use the shared restrooms and has to be banished to a separate, isolating, faraway, and stigmatizing restroom. And he filed a lawsuit. The case is before the Supreme Court. The case is not mooted by yesterday's actions because the question before the court is, well, what does Title IX mean when it comes to transgender students? And courts for many, many years have made clear that prohibitions on sex discrimination include prohibitions on discrimination against people who are transgender because they are transgender. And the reality is that kids will be harmed by this. And you know, I can't say it more strongly, but the blood is on the hands of these lawmakers who are making it a priority to make vulnerable kids feel less safe.
President Donald Trump was asked about transgender rights when he was running for president and appeared at a town hall event on NBC's Today Show. This was last April.
Mr. Trump, please be specific. Tell us your views on LGBT, how you plan to be inclusive as president. Speak about North Carolina bathroom law in particular.
Oh, I had a feeling that question was going to come up. I will tell you. Well, look, North Carolina did something that was very strong, and they're paying a big price, and there's a lot of problems. And I heard one of the best answers I heard was from a commentator yesterday saying, leave it the way it is right now. There have been not very few problems. Leave it the way it is. North Carolina, what they're going through with all of the business that's leaving and all of the strife, and that's on both sides. You leave it the way it is. There have been very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. There has been so little trouble. And the problem with what happened in North Carolina is the strife and the economic punishment that they're taking. So I would say that's probably the
best. Do you have any transgender people working in your organization?
I don't know.
No?
I really don't know. I probably do. I really don't.
So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses?
That is correct.
So Caitlyn Jenner could use any bathroom she chooses in Trump Tower, a candidate Donald Trump said. But President Donald Trump has gone with a very different approach.
You know, that was a surprising amount of clarity from then candidate Trump on the issue. And I think what it reflects is that when people first think about this, it makes perfect sense to not worry about where people go to the bathroom, because actually we've all been using the bathroom, trans people and non-trans people alike, for a very long time with no problems. And the emphasis on trying to expel trans people from the bathrooms we've been using for decades is in fact creating the problems. I think what we've seen now in his shift of position is, you know, he's being caught up in the rhetoric that is really about demonizing trans individuals and making it seem not palatable to share public space with us. But that's just simply not a tenable position.
I have a message for the trans kids of America.
Caitlyn Jenner.
You're winning. I know it doesn't feel like it today or every day, but you're winning. Very soon, we will win full freedom nationwide, and it's going to be with bipartisan support. Finally, I have a message for President Trump. From, well, one Republican to another. This is a disaster, and you can still fix it. You made a promise to protect the LGBTQ community. Call me.
The reality is that there's a movement of people supporting the trans community. Trans people are out there speaking for themselves. And that to the extent people's answer to the question of what to do about trans people existing in the world is to tell us not to exist at all, that is just simply not tenable, and people will not stand for that. And I know that we will continue to march forward, and we will continue to stand beside the young people particularly who are taking on so much.
So what happens next, Chase?
We tell everyone in this country to mobilize around the Supreme Court case that's happening with arguments on March 28th, because that is where we will continue to make our case for the protections that transgender individuals need. And we will stand in solidarity with all of the communities being targeted by this administration.
And if a child or anyone is harassed in school, wherever, what can they do?
If a child is harassed, if they're denied access to the restroom, they can contact their local ACLU office. They can contact any organization that works with the LGBT community in their state. They can find me on Twitter. They can search for other people who are out there. We will not be silent, and we will not let people be isolated and targeted, no matter how much targeting happens from the federal government and down into the states.
Chase Stranger is staff attorney at the ACLU. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Michelle Marie Gilkison and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Special thanks to Mark Richardson of Public News Service, Pacifica Evening News anchor Christina Anastad, and Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, the Gay Chemist Support Fund of Horizons Foundation, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut, Aero FM Masterton, New Zealand, CITR Vancouver, British Columbia, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
I'm not going to talk about the travel ban. I'm just going to talk about the very non-political, family-friendly, People's Choice Award-winning Finding Dory.
Peace and blessings be upon you. If you're gay, lesbian, or bisexual, you're 3 to 4 times more at risk for attempting suicide. On an average day, we might get about 130 to 140 calls, which is really a lot.
That is a lot.
And in the 2 days following the election, we had almost 700.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Boy Scouts of America transitions on gender identity, screen actors mix politics with prizes, and Trump's teens turn to the Trevor Project. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Carol Myers.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending February 4th, 2017. After more than a century of entrenched resistance, the Boy Scouts of America completed its total evolution on LGBT people this week by announcing that it will welcome transgender kids who identify as boys into its ranks, as well as transgender adult leaders. The youth organization opened its doors to openly gay scouts in 2013 and to out gay adult leaders and employees in 2015. The BSA announcement said that it would immediately begin accepting the gender identity specified by a child or parent on its enrollment applications. Admittance had previously been based only on the child's birth certificate. The group acknowledged the highly publicized case of Joe Maldonado, an 8-year-old Secaucus, New Jersey boy who was told to leave his scout troop late last year after some parents found out he's transgender and complained. But the BSA statement said the decision was made in the context of the larger discussion of trans issues going on around the country. Joe has been invited to rejoin his troop. Christy Maldonado, Joe's mom, said they'd like that, but only after the scout leader who kicked Joe out leaves.
Sweden's National Board of Health and Welfare announced this week that transgender people will no longer be classified as mentally ill. The board's leader, Christina Brand Persson, called it a completely reasonable change because it follows the October 2016 World Health Organization decision to do the same. Several Swedish trans activists ridiculed the announcement on Twitter as long overdue. "Wake me," one wrote. "Is it 2017 or 1817? Sweden has tended to lag behind many of its regional neighbors in its treatment of transgender citizens. Until its repeal in 2013, a Swedish law made sterilization a requirement, or, as the statute described it, lack of the ability to procreate, before the government would legally recognize a trans person's gender.
Switzerland has lifted its lifetime ban on blood donations by men who have sex with men. However, like a similar announcement a few weeks ago in the Republic of Ireland, gay and bisexual men who want to help save lives will still have to have been celibate for the past year. Activists applauded the step forward, but echoed those in other countries with similar restrictions, who argue that potential blood donors should be screened on the basis of personal behavior and not sexual orientation.
Elsewhere, another judge in Lebanon has questioned the country's laws banning private consensual adult same-gender lovemaking. Judge Rabi Maalouf ruled in a court near Beirut this week that because homosexuality is a natural variant, Lebanese Penal Code Article 534, outlawing intercourse contrary to the order of nature, doesn't apply. "Homosexuality is a personal choice," he wrote, "not a criminal offense." The law currently punishes same-gender sex with up to a year in prison. The judge referenced Article 183 of the Penal Code, which states that an act undertaken in exercise of a right without abuse shall not be regarded as an offense. In other words, if no harm is done, there is no crime. Human Rights Watch notes that Maalouf is just the latest magistrate to question the interpretation of Article 534. Judges did the same in cases involving private consensual adult gay sex in 2007 and 2014. The Lebanese Psychiatric Society issued a statement in 2013 affirming that homosexuality is not a mental disorder And in 2015, the organization specifically called for the abolition of Article 534.
An appeals court in the Estonian capital of Tallinn ordered the country this week to recognize a gay couple who'd been legally married in Sweden. A lower court rejected the Estonian men's request to have their marriage entered into the civil register. Appeals court judges ruled in their favor in December. After time expired for authorities to file an appeal, the couple finally entered their marriage in the civil register on January 31st. Equality activists are hoping it's just the first step toward full civil marriage equality in their country. Queer couples have been able to enter into civil partnerships in Estonia since last year, which made it the first former Soviet republic to legally recognize same-gender couples. And even though civil partnerships were supposed to provide gay and lesbian couples with almost the same rights as heterosexual couples, they're denied adoptions equality, for example. Critics charge that almost the same is not equal.
Norway's Evangelical Lutheran Church adopted a new liturgy this week that will allow ministers to bless the marriages of same-gender couples. Church officials approved the move last year, but a special liturgy had to be developed before gay and lesbian couples could enjoy church weddings. The General Synod voted 83-29 on January 30th to approve the new service, which essentially replaces bride and groom in the wedding ceremony with gender-neutral terms. The liturgy to bless heterosexual couples remains unchanged. Individual pastors are free to decide whether or not to officiate at the weddings of same-gender couples. At last count, about 73% of Norway's 5.2 million residents are registered members of the church, which officially separated from the state on January 1st. Civil marriage and adoption have been open to same-gender couples in Norway since 2009. The church also ordains openly gay ministers.
Thousands of British gay and bisexual men were officially pardoned this week, albeit posthumously, for criminal convictions that would not be against the law today. Private, consensual, adult, same-gender sex was decriminalized in Britain in 1967. Turing's Law, as it's called, is named for Alan Turing. He was the brilliant World War II forefather of the modern computer who cracked the Nazi Enigma code. He committed suicide in 1954 following his forced chemical castration after being convicted of engaging in private, consensual, adult gay sex. Turing received a royal pardon in 2013. His relatives pushed for the passage of Turing's Law to expunge the records of those similarly convicted. The law received official royal assent on January 31st. "We can never undo the hurt caused," said Justice Minister Sam Gyimaa. "But we have apologized and taken action to right these wrongs." Irish-born playwright Oscar Wilde was among some 50,000 gay men given posthumous pardons in the UK. Those convicted under the so-called buggery laws before 1967 and are still living can apply to the Home Office to have their convictions expunged.
The government of the Republic of Ireland has agreed not to oppose a bill that will similarly pardon an estimated 2,000 men who were convicted of violating Irish laws against gay sex. Those laws were only abolished in Ireland in 1993.
In this week's Trump News, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer followed up his "I don't know" in response to a question at a briefing last week to say in a statement this week that President Trump intends to maintain the anti-bias protections for LGBT federal workers that were implemented under former President Barack Obama. The New York Times reported that Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner, an official presidential advisor, were instrumental in convincing Trump to keep the protections.
But rumors have swirled around Trump's reported support of the First Amendment Defense Act, a bill percolating in Congress that would allow individuals and businesses to overtly discriminate against LGBT people based on sincerely held religious belief or moral conviction. Press Secretary Spicer said this week that the White House has no plans to issue a similar so-called religious freedom executive order at this time.
And finally, queer advocacy groups have joined a chorus of progressive organizations expressing concerns about President Trump's nomination of Boulder, Colorado-based federal appeals court judge Neil Gorsuch to fill the vacancy on the U.S. Supreme Court left by the death almost a year ago of far-right Justice Antonin Scalia. Gorsuch is said to be a keen admirer of the arch-conservative ideologue, who was a vocal opponent of every LGBT rights case that came before him during his long tenure on the high court. As a judge on the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals,
Gorsuch's ruling in the Hobby Lobby case supported the right of a conservative Christian-run company to withhold contraception services from the healthcare benefits it offers its employees. Equality California Executive Director Rick Zabur warned in a statement that such a ruling bodes ill for LGBT people who are facing an onslaught of laws sanctioning discrimination in the name of religious liberty. Meanwhile, the High Court announced this week that the justices would hear oral arguments in the case of Virginia transgender high school student Gavin Grimm on March 28th. He sued the Gloucester County School Board last year, demanding the right to use restrooms on campus consistent with his gender identity. It will be the first time the U.S. Supreme Court has heard a case involving the rights of transgender people.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending February 4th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Carol Myers.
Teen trauma gets tougher in the time of Trump. Later in the program.
I'm Diddly Day, an actor's life is gay. It's great to be a celebrity, an actor's life for me.
A perhaps more queer than usual annual Screen Actors Guild Awards ceremony was held in Los Angeles on January 29th. Lesbian icon Lily Tomlin accepted SAG's Lifetime Achievement Award with her trademark biting humor, and numerous other LGBTQ fan favorites took home trophies. President Trump's immigration travel ban was barely 48 hours old when it prompted comments by several winners. The multinational, partly queer cast of Orange is the New Black accepted the award for Best Ensemble TV Comedy. Taylor Piper Schilling got a little help from her friends during the acceptance speech.
We stand up here representing a diverse group of people, representing generations of families who have sought a better life here from places like Nigeria, the Dominican Republic,
Puerto Rico,
Colombia, Colombia. Hey. Ireland,
Brooklyn,
yes. And we know that it's going to be up to us and all of you probably too to keep telling stories that show what unites us is stronger than the forces that seek to divide us.
Yes.
At some point, you got to decide for yourself who you want to be. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
Moonlight's Mahershala Ali gave heartfelt thanks for his win for outstanding film performance by a male actor in a supporting role. He played a drug dealer named Juan who takes a bullied gay youth under his wing.
What I've learned from working on Moonlight is we see what happens when you persecute people. They fold into themselves. And what I was so grateful about in having the opportunity to play Juan was playing a gentleman who saw a young man folding into himself as a result of the persecution of his community and taking that opportunity to uplift him and tell him that he mattered, that he was okay, and accept him. And I hope that we do a better job of that. You know, when we kind of get caught up in the minutiae, the details that make us all different, I think there's two ways of seeing that. There's the opportunity to see the texture of that person, the characteristics that make them unique. And then there's the opportunity to go to war about it and to say that that person is different from me and I don't like you. So let's battle. My mother is an ordained minister. I'm a Muslim. She didn't do backflips when I called her to tell her I converted 17 years ago. But I tell you now, we put things to the side, and I'm able to see her. She's able to see me. We love each other. The love has grown, and that stuff is minutia. It's not that important. So, thank you. Peace and blessings be upon you.
Even daytime talk show queen Ellen DeGeneres had words about the Trump travel ban this week.
Heard, this is what happened. Over the weekend, on Friday, the president gave an order banning people from seven countries from entering the United States, including people with green cards. And then on Saturday, the president screened Finding Dory at the White House. I'm not going to talk about the travel ban. I'm just going to talk about the very non-political, family-friendly, People's Choice Award-winning Finding Dory. Of course, Finding Dory is about a fish named Dory, and Dory lives in Australia, and these are her parents, and they live in America, and I don't know what religion they are, but her dad sounds a little Jewish. Doesn't matter. Dory arrives in America with her friends Marlin and Nemo, and she ends up at the Marine Life Institute behind a large wall, and they all have to get over the wall. And you won't believe it, but that wall has almost no effect in keeping them out. Even though Dory gets into America, she ends up separated from her family. But the other animals help Dory, animals that don't even need her, animals that don't even have anything in common with her. They help her even though they're completely different colors, because that's what you do when you see someone in need. You help them. So that is what I hope everyone who's watching Finding Dory has learned. Tune in next week when I explain women's rights, talking about the movie Mr. Wrong.
Oops.
Hello, this is the actor Michael Emerson, Ben on Lost. It's not easy being one of the others, so if time travel or moving the island isn't an option and you're feeling sort of lost, try listening to Greg and Lucia on This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine.
Careful the things you say, children will listen. Children will see.
The Trump effect on minority youth is part of the collateral damage following the U.S. presidential election. This Way Out's Abby Dees and Wenzel Jones discuss the latest threat to already threatened LGBTQ young people in particular, and a lot more, with Abby Land, executive director of the literally life-saving Trevor Project.
We work to prevent suicide for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth up to 25. One thing many people don't know is suicide is actually the second leading cause of death of all young people 10 to 24. But if you're gay, lesbian, or bisexual, you're 3 to 4 times more at risk for attempting suicide, and almost half of trans youth have thought about suicide. We have been around since 1998, and over those years have helped thousands upon thousands of youth who've reached out to us in often their darkest moment. And we do our services through a 24/7 lifeline that young people can call us from all across the country, as well as we have Trevor Chat and we have Trevor Text.
And what's Trevor Text?
Young people can text us when they're in crisis.
And there's a live person to text right back?
We have our counselors are available 24/7.
Any way that you can connect with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, part of what we really try to do is make sure we meet youth where they are. And so though many, many youth actually reach out to us using the telephone, more and more youth obviously are, you know, on the computer. So we chat with them, instant messaging. And then so many more are texting each other. You wouldn't think you would text about this, but many youth do text about it. So we have counselors that we've trained to be there for the young people.
Huffington Post reported that you guys are getting a real flood of calls since the election.
Sit down. You weren't called. Sit down.
No,
sit down.
I have the right to
No, you don't. Go back to Univision.
Is there a Muslim problem? Absolutely, yes. I didn't see Swedish people knocking down the World Trade Center.
How do you define Black Lives Matter?
Well, I would say they're dividing America.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, coming out of her wherever.
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting, both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob. She talks like a truck driver.
On an average day, if you would, between our chat, text, and Lifeline, we might get about 130 to 140 calls, which is really a lot.
That is a lot.
And in the 2 days following the election, we had almost 700 calls.
What was the nature of the calls?
What we heard over and over again from the young folks that were reaching out to us was they're scared. There's this big question. What does it mean? You know, they listened for months to this political rhetoric. People were being told they were less than and not equal to. And now these people are president and our vice president. People called afraid to lose their rights, afraid of losing health care, of maybe having to go to conversion therapy. So there's a lot of fear there. We remind them that over half of the voters actually voted a different way. In fact, the popular vote was much more for the other candidate. And we remind them that they're special the way they are, and there's a whole lot of people out there fighting for them. And that, I think, is a really important message. At the Trevor Project in the days following the election, we had so many notes and cards, you know, from people reaching out to us from really all over the world, from 20 different countries. We got notes and support saying, we know the work you're doing is really important right now, and we want to make sure that you can be there for the young people. So we share that with them. We let them know they're not alone, that there's a lot of us there that are going to be there for them.
Something that surprised me about the Trevor Project that I learned a while ago is that while your mission is crisis intervention and suicide prevention, you will take calls really from anybody with serious issues to discuss, family members who are trying to understand.
We are a fully accredited Lifeline. We meet all the national standards. The bulk of our calls are on young people who are in crisis up to 25. But obviously, we talk to anyone. And we do get a number of parents who call. And certainly, even since this election, a number of parents have called trying to understand what to even say to their children. You know, trying to understand that. And we have a lot of information on our website. And we encourage people to reach out, to call us. And, you know, sometimes just talking through some of those issues makes a difference. But for young people who are specifically 13 to 24, we have something called Trevor Space. And Trevor Space, it's a Facebook-like community of LGBTQAIP young people. And it's really a community where you can go and suddenly you realize you're not alone, you know, because even sometimes when you're in the middle of Los Angeles, you think you're the only one, let alone when you might be in a very small town where literally you might not know anyone. So here you come onto Trevor Space. We have over 150,000 young people on Trevor Space. And it is that place where you could talk, ask questions. And so you're not in crisis, but, you know, it's like, I want to tell my mom I'm gay and I don't know what to do. And, you know, boy, you'll get a whole lot of folks telling you, do this, don't do that. And so it's a really wonderful place because we know that it's really important to feel like you're part of a community.
And you sort of police that site?
We have volunteers who monitor that site. It's a safe site that we ensure that it's safety. We make sure, too, if someone is really in crisis, that we can reach out to them so that they can talk to folks on our counseling line.
Abby Land is the executive director of the Trevor Project. I'm Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
One of the issues that I know can be the most challenging for a queer youth, queer anybody, is religion, family religion. And I'm wondering how you navigate that.
Part of what we do, we're there to listen. We're not there to pass judgment. And, you know, religion is a really important thing in many people's lives. And just because you might be going to a church or temple or something where they're telling you something different, that's still your community. So, you know, we're there to listen and help figure out how to navigate that or find a place that